As you can see from the vestments of the deacon and I, we have come to a different piece, a different place in our Advent season. And you can see I'm wearing rose-colored vestments, and the deacon's wearing pink. Oh, and the candle of the Advent wreath is rose-colored, and some of our families are wearing rose-colored, Father noticed, very well. And all of this marks something for us. It tells you something. And our readings are going to change now a little bit, and they're going to be a bit lighter. And as I said, the color today is rose, and that Christmas, you know, Christmas, look at the manger scene. Christmas is not far off now. It's just days away. And friends, the prophet Zephaniah, what we don't get in the lectionary is what happened before this reading. And they had been imprisoned and enslaved. So he's telling them, the judgment is over. And he's speaking to them, and he's like letting them know, sunshine after all the darkness is now here. But the real message is, he's, as we heard in the responsorial psalm that the cantor sang, God is present to you. The Lord, the Mighty One, the Anointed, is here. And he tells them, then shout for joy, daughter Zion. The Lord is in your midst, and he will renew you. St. Paul, we hear a similar message, and it's one of rejoice. St. Paul says, rejoice always. And my friends, you need to know that St. Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians not from a hotel room with a fireplace. Do you know where he's at? He's in a prison, and it's cold and damp. And he's writing, you see, in the midst of where he's at, he's telling, rejoice always in all things. Both readings refer to a deep, if you will, a deep, deep joy within the heart of the disciple. And my friends, this is something, as both readings are showing us, we can have no matter what's going on, because there's a distinction between joy, which is of the spirit, and pleasures, which is of the body. And I'm meaning food and all that kind of stuff. And people will grow tired of pleasures, of the things. But people do not grow tired of joy. So my friends, our readings speak of always having this joy about us. And having said this, I know that although we hear many things about the season of joy, we hear it in the readings, our hymns put that forth. And of course, if you've been out there, it's everywhere, you know, all the jingles and everything. So my question to you is, how do you experience the joy of Christmas in your heart and in your family? And I bring this up because many people find this time of year, this season of Christmas, not with joy, but filled with anxiety and tension and exhaustion. And now, though I will go later into, there are two types for this, but the one I'm getting at is there's a great deal of stress because of the preparation of Christmas. I mean, the preparation gets crazy and out of hand, and it begins to move further and further away from what the true meaning of Christmas is, and that is the birth of, and happy birthday to Jesus, right? And the further you get away from that, the more stressful things become. And what is put forth by the secular venues is what I was telling people last night, picture-perfect Christmas, an image of Christmas that requires perfection. The Christmas tree must be perfect. Our Advent tree, which will transform into Christmas tree next weekend, is beautiful, but it is not perfect. Doesn't need to be. It doesn't have to have perfect decorations. But you are told just the opposite. It must be perfect. The gold must be perfect. The color of the gold must be perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. The food, mercy, you got to prepare the food perfectly. And it better be to what the family likes, too. Otherwise, it will not be a perfect family gathering. There will not be harmony because of it. You see what? It's the wrong kind of thing. That's what I'm talking about, the pleasures. Those people grow tired of. But Christmas is never that perfect. My friends, the very first Christmas was not perfect. And I'm going to be very careful because I can get in trouble by farmers. Mary and Joseph are in a hewn out cave where the barn animals are at, with the donkey and the mule and the goats. The goats. No. You see, even the first one wasn't. But it had something. Joy and peace. The perfect Christmas eludes most people every year. We have the reading from John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a very interesting person in our history. One, because he came to preach repentance to all of you. And when you were not repenting, John the Baptist loved you, but he was not a friend. Bad, 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 bad. I mean, he pointed it out. Bad, super bad. Very, very bad. And then he tells you, change, 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 change. You can do this, you can do this, you can do this. But when you were walking in holiness, you're going to get a crown, you're getting a crown, you're getting a crown. I mean, he was the best friend in the world to you, you see? So we have a message from him today in the gospel. And he shows us the way to have the profound joy that is at the very spiritual heart of this holy season for us. In the gospel, people come to him and ask him, how should I prepare for the coming of the Messiah? John tells them, be kind, share what you have with others, and do not be selfish and pig-headed. Okay, he didn't. All right. It's gleaned from in there. I don't dare add to the scriptures. Tax collectors. Oh my, the tax collectors have come. What should we do to prepare? And he tells them, stop exhorting. Don't take more than what is prescribed. Send that note over to Washington. No more than what's prescribed. Because they were cheating. I'm not saying our tax people do that. But back then they were. They were cheating with the weight system. And they were taking what they cheated people out of. And soldiers came to him. And he tells them, do not abuse the power that has been given to you. In this we discover how to prepare for the Messiah. Not by perfect decorations, and not by perfect gift wrapping, and not by perfect singing. You did a very good job, though. Now I always think, I mess with them all the time. They're used to it. It is by sincere repentance, and by repentance in this moment, John is talking about stop doing things that are wicked and mean-spirited. Start doing things that are kind to others. He said, this is how you prepare. And we can make John's message that he gave our own in our own time. And in doing this, although the full coming of the kingdom will happen in the future, Christ's second coming, in the Lord's time, we can now begin to experience the kingdom and the joy of that now. And the joy of this Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, we are to rejoice. And my friends, we can do that even in the midst, like St. Paul in prison. And he was imprisoned falsely. We can have that deep joy by appreciating the fact that Christmas does not have to be perfect. Like the picture that you see. There have been different artists. I'm going to be very careful because one of our parishioners we were talking about, I brought up an artist's name, Maxfield Parrish. And he did many things, but he did pictures of serenity in nature and the kind you want to pop into, and it's perfect. But then the parishioner rightly pointed out, but Father, you were describing Norman Rockwell. And I thought, yeah, I was. And the thing about Norman Rockwell was there was this sense of warmth that came from his pictures. But if you looked at them, they were kind of funny. And they certainly were not perfect. So I'm like, yeah, there we go. But that's not what the stores tell you. It's certainly not what the shopping networks on TV tell you. And I know, because when I have insomnia, I have to watch them. And I'm always amazed at the psychology they use. If you have this, your life will be perfect. If you give this as a Christmas present, they will love you. My friends, Christ comes to us in our imperfection. He did not wait for us to be perfected because he needed to do that. So he comes to us in our imperfections. His kingdom then can begin to take root in our life here and now. However, as St. John the Baptizer says, we must prepare for the way of the Lord. And if we do this, whatever limitations may be around us, whatever the challenge may be, we will be able to experience the joy of his presence. Our first reading tells us that the Lord will renew us from the inside with grace and love. And this is a great promise of spiritual fortification. And all of us need that now. And some of us need that more because the family is coming and they are going to push your buttons. I may live alone, but I hear about it from all of you. You know what the in-law said? Nope, nope, don't need to hear. Don't need to know. Have joy. Have peace about it. Last night I told people, run and lock yourself in the bathroom for 5 minutes and breathe. They won't come in there making their demands when you need just a minute to get away from all the craziness of all the preparation and you trying to make everything perfect for everybody. Friends, St. Paul tells us the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. Bring it to prayer to him. In this, the Christian can be confident that the very peace of God is within them, no matter what is happening around them. And again, according to St. John the Baptizer, repentance is a key to a Christmas filled with joy and peace. Huh? Without clearing the way of the Lord, Christmas becomes simply a winter romp without any spiritual benefit, without any spiritual consequences. And that truly is sad. So let us put into practice what St. John the Baptizer tells us. In doing so, Christ then comes and remains a pivotal part of Christmas, as it should be, but he remains in our lives. To prepare the way of the Lord, we have to take the advice of John the Baptizer. And as Catholics, we have the sacraments that help us. The sacraments help us to have grace. The sacrament of reconciliation, confession, the sacrament of Holy Eucharist. These sacraments help us. These help us to imitate our Lord in his ways, helping us to walk in holiness. And to make the point of this homily, in a way perhaps more familiar to people. I'm using a commercial that was on a couple years ago. Here we go. Christmas. Presents. $2,000. Christmas. Food and everything else. Beer and wine. $1,000. Holiness and love. Priceless. The kids won't remember that commercial, but I know you adults do. You see? And I'm getting at, my friends, the happiness that we long for and the joy we need are found in our Lord. And my friends, at this time of year, people come back to the church and the people who I, with great love, refer to as Christers, meaning Christmas and Easter. There's something about that. Christmas is not complete without Easter. Without Easter, Christmas makes no sense. Theologically, I'm not talking about the stories. Those are important things, children, we know that. But I'm talking about, do you understand? This is our salvation. God became man, incarnate. So without Easter, Christmas makes no sense. Why would he become human? Because he needed to do this as a human. Remember, he's fully human and fully divine. But without Christmas, Easter cannot happen. The two of them are tied together. I'm drilling this into your head because I want you to remember what Christmas is about. Remember? Crib, cross, crown, incarnation, salvation, glory. Christ? Yes. But you too, because you share in that. Friends, Christmas becomes a great time of year when many come back. And there's a survey that has been out, and it says that most people, they didn't leave because they were angry about something. They just left because one Sunday they didn't come, and then the second Sunday they didn't come, and then before they know it was 20 years later. I don't know how that happens, but it happens. And they had another piece to that, the reason why they come back. They don't come back because the church is perfect or because the church has all the answers. They came back because they felt welcomed. So I want us who are here always to help facilitate that. That first Christmas, the door was slammed on Joseph and Mary. There was no room for them. So they went to the stable. Let us open the doors. Let us sincerely welcome them back and make room for them so that they will stay longer. That way I won't just see them at Easter again. Huh? Amen, what do you think? Think we can do this for them? Friends, as is a very old tradition, I have blessed straw, and the straw is at the doors, and there are little baggies, and you can take the straw home with you and put it into your manger scene and into your creches, extending the blessing from here into your very homes. So they're at the doors, and I've learned the difference between hay and straw last night. Thank you. Hay is what they eat, the animals, and straw is what they sleep on. Because I didn't know which one was which. So what we have is straw. And it's for your manger scenes.